In the temple, high above the sea, a sweet, gentle breeze blows through the orange curtains. And here there is a sweet flame burning in every heart, melting all resistance under the powers that guide us through sorrow and joy within and without, knowing how not to hurt or be hurt by others, to be proud of ourselves on earth as above, and able to understand and able to bear cruelty, using our strength to protect, to care for, dancing, dancing to diffuse in the waves, over the waves, transcending higher and higher. Wounds, no more wounds in the sunlight. Flying, flying in the superlight. In the temple, high above the sea, a sweet, gentle breeze blows through the orange curtains. And here there is a clean energy in every flower and tree, soil and water, wind and sun, our duty to our planet, knowing how to sustain and be sustained by nature, to be proud of all business people on earth as above, unable to understand, unable to bear war, using our kindness to soothe, to comfort, dancing, dancing to transform, in the waves, over the waves, transcending higher and higher. Wounds, no more wounds in the moonlight, flying, flying in the superlight. In the temple, high above the sea, a sweet, gentle breeze blows through the orange curtains. And here there is a safe haven for every child, woman, and man, our duty to mankind, knowing how to treat and be treated by others, to be proud of all rulers on earth as above, unable to accept, unable to bear degradation, raising our human hearts to be noble, to create values, dancing, dancing to be sublime, in the waves, over the waves, transcending higher and higher. Wounds, no more wounds in the starlight, flying, flying in the superlight, in the temple, high above the sea, a sweet, gentle breeze blows through the orange curtains. And here there is a unity of people from all nations, unlocking the gates of our minds and our hearts into salvation, knowing how to forgive ourselves and others, to be proud of humanity on earth as above, unable to accept, unable to bear discord, raising our human souls to be noble, to uphold values, dancing, dancing to render sublime, in the waves, over the waves, transcending higher and higher, winners despite our wounds, into the rainbow light, flying, flying in the superlight, flying, flying in the human divine superlight. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alexandra. No, sir. It's all real. Thank you. Next up to the open mic, we have Catherine Rollins, please.
Thank you, Kieran. Get your name right this time. I have to thank Paul Casey for this poem because I was really forced with him in UCC and we studied anaphora. Hope I got that right, Paul. Anaphora. Anyway. So it was first published in Moment Scream anthology and most recently in the Fantastic Blue Mondays anthology. Oh. Healer. Take this squinting kitten, stroke into full fur feline, raise me from the shale grave of bedridden days. Take these shards, anoint with gold, vesseled, transformed, more beautiful than original sin. Take me in your swollen arms, show me the moon, silver pools of magic. I am the sea. Take my face, whisper, rainbow after rain. Create circles to complete any language. Healer, I am woman. Heal me.
Can we have Kenneth Hickey next, please?
Cheers, thanks very much. 2 seconds, I'll just get the poem up. So my name is Ken Hickey. I was lucky enough to have my debut collection published by Revival Press last year. So still plenty of copies available. So I was going to read from that, but because it's the Cork Park Festival, I changed my mind at the last minute. I'm from Cove, and I served in the Irish Naval Service. So many of my family have been involved to sea. So Cork Harbour is obviously very important to me, and it shows up in my poetry. Of course, the phone goes off. So this poem was published a few months ago. It's not actually in the collection. It was published with Corncrake magazine. And it's actually all about Cork Harbour. So it's called The Great Isle. Beneath a starry night, like the Dutchman would paint, we met as star-crossed lovers. This, with a kiss, I die. The dark waves lapped at the steps of the stone pier named for an American president, the one they killed in Dallas, tipped with moonlight. Played with each other like children that first night, strangers exploring new lands, untrodden paths. And in the moonlight once again, a small car by the sea knew the trails through the newly discovered as time passed so beautifully. But charts of harbours now tattered, forcing fate on troubled wave, our little boat, too soft to weather, screams of sirens for the grave. He bellows to the silent heavens, the pagan gods of old, the mute mythical martyrs, a cry in the night on a crackling line. He says the words you cannot say, the White Queen and the Panther passing, to history, to fable, to shining myth, to echoing darkness of dreams, the mystic equations of love proved unprovable. Only language remains, memory filtered and fractured. Thank you.
That's locking it. We have Constance D next, please.
Thank you. I'm
I'm going to read the two or three poems, not too long. Traveling. I lay on the warm sand at the edge of the sea. One by one, the stars appeared, big ripple, little ripple, on imaginable spaces and times. Closing my eyes, I travel like this for a while. I understand better now why the light comes out of darkness, why things have names. I understand better now why flowers change color, water lilies grow on the bottom of the lake. I fall asleep. I fall asleep on the kit of the old piano. In the morning at dawn, I am the river with crystalline water. I wake in the morning, I gather the unspoken words from the previous day. The smell of natural coffee fruit I'm selling on green stagnant water. And the last one. Stars. In the palms of my hand, the stars beat of love and happiness, of life and eternity.
Thanks a lot, Constantine. It's a great pleasure to welcome back to the mic Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Kiran. Unfortunately, I don't have anything about the sea, but this is just a bit of triviality. It's called Dissection of a Punk. The platinum jubilee of the reigning British Queen reminds one of the silver one that wasn't so serene. When the Sex Pistols were singing, "She ain't no human being." An insult to that monarch who was held in high esteem. Punk rock was a revolt against convention far and wide. Its mentor, Vivian Westwood, had McLaren by her side. Inventing a subculture that many would debunk, they presented to the world a fully fashioned punk. A punk is a creature not easy to describe. A special kind of heavy beat could make him come alive. He wore a lot of safety pins and other kinds of junk, like scissors or a loot chain that smelt a bit of skunk. Some had boots with spurs attached that shone like minted guineas. Punk chicks wore fishnet stuffings and leather micro minis. Heavy black mascara made their eyes look wild and sunk. For their mates, a greasy t-shirt was the emblem of a punk. To invite this weirdo home for tea would make your mother blush. His hair was often fuzzy, like a lavatory brush. To tell him what you thought of him would take a lot of spunk. No daddy wants his darling to get mixed up with a punk. A punk could always dye his hair bright green or carrot red, choosing the accessories that gave him more street cred. Perhaps some ditzy females considered him a hunk. He certainly could never be mistaken for a monk. Yeah.
We missed your laugh, Mary. Class. Class act. One. And we have John Horan next, please.
I thought I was lower down the list. I mean, it feels like I'm going to find this. Now here we are. It's called Weightless Memories, and it does happily mention the sea. I stared at the sun too long. It burnt out my brain a bit. It doesn't really matter. It wasn't working anyway. I was focused on forgiveness and letting go of the bad bits that were lodged in little crevices, snuck within the dark cliffs, down in the black bits and puddles of darkness. In my mind, I saw the moon reflecting, glowing, gleaming egg yolks. I thought I'd make a jewel twinkling on the ridges of ripples of forgiveness from pillows I dropped into, lattices of sickness. Up to their old business, sucking life out of me, nothing's ever easy. No point in complaining, I'd write some poetry in the hopes that it might save me. To see if it's possible to sing something new into thee. What if I could just be a melody of great seas, reaching for the moonbeams and love songs of gravity? And weightless memories, rainbows of dust, and buried over identities. Nothing now but melodies and songs sung into me. Nothing now but moonbeams and weightless memories. Thank you.
Wonderful, John. Can we go online now? If we could have Pam Campbell, that'd be great.
Okay. Paul, I think my signal's strong enough. I was going to share my screen if y'all are okay with that. So you can see the shape of my poem.
Sure.
Let's see if this works. If I have a problem, I'll go to plan two. okay, I have a problem. I've got a new computer, y'all. I forgot to set up Zoom so I can do this. So I'm going to punt and go to a different. I'll save my shape poem for later. Instead, I'll read this one. Okay. Left-hand-handed. My uncle is left-handed like me, at least before I was in third grade. Not that I was treated as devil-touched, just no one knew how to help a left hand hold right-handed scissors or share right-handed space or teach a left hand to make oblong slants to prepare standalone letters to become cursive connected. All this warned that my left hand was a mistake. But Maymaw believed a body had a right to be what a body needed to be and didn't change my fork from left to right. And she knew my left-handed mother ghosted my fingers. At big family dinners, I sat next to my left-handed uncle. His hand, elbow, and arm held a non-competing clause with mine. I still eat with my left hand and bat a left-handed drive. I drift left when I walk and birthed a left-handed daughter who had left-handed scissors, who curled her letters in a left-right, right-left, upside-down way, who answered my right elbow with a chuckling left knee. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Pam. We'll have Patricia Walsh next, please.
Okay. This is called Growing from Heads. Thought at a worse time. Too dead to walk. Simple mathematics lie faint in the corner. The crazed environment crawls back and forth. Consummated jail time, letting itself go. Very good while it lasted, sleek walking. Requested doggerel, married under orders. The sacrilegious downside slipping past. Taking up music in your fitting is a better choice. This mediocre joke goes to fame. betraying the false prophets at singular will. Queens of convenience not handling explosives. Sacred deliveries taking another burn. The lesser organized sports that lost for sincerity. Kill for better bearing, suffer the effort. Stonewalling the wet fish, calling pigeons. Not even interested now, excavating alone. Not fearing the level of death, governing stupidity. Solo particulars, counsel for the worse. The same may give, busting guts in perpetuity. Inheritance under feet of the still entitled. Worse artists and residents wearing thick, wishing to say, beasting, taking by force. Attending a reply, barring others for less. Cheerful answer unheeded, whimsical design. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Trish. I'd like the mayor to contain yourself for what's about to happen next. But that's the biggest sex symbol to come to Cork since
thanks,
Benjamin Burns left. Benjamin Burns.
Thank you, Ciarán. Hello, Cork. It's nice to be on tour.
Again.
It's nice that so many of you came to see me on the open mic.
We all came with you.
This is called Celestial Hunk. It does. The sun is so fucking hot. The sun in my mouth. The sun between your legs. The bright globes of oranges that swell and ripen, grasped between palms where the palm trees sway, and I suck the sweet juice out, wipe my sticky chin clean, pleasure the skin beneath my feet as I climb your stiff trunk, higher, higher, yes, 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 lay down flat to that astronomical sex god burning up in the sky, too fucking hot to comprehend, too fucking hot to even look at.
Good to have you back in Cork, kid. Megan Regan's next. Who's also performing at Sing Slang on Wednesday. Going to be around the two. Both Ben and Mary.
Thanks, Ciarán. This one is called Skin. My fingers trace your shoulder blades, lingering in your groovy glades, then the outline of your spine as it meanders and inclines. My palms curl over your mounds, cupping and kneading your rounds, stretching my fingers to inner thighs, lingering, nerve endings tingling. Behind your knees, I slowly feel, lightly touch and twirl, gradually quickening round and round, exploring contours up and down, melting and melding sensations, heat-inducing elation, skin meshing dilation, fitting your flesh into mine. And don't forget Sling Slang, as Ciarán said, with Benjamin Burns and myself on Wednesday at 7 in Maureen's.
Nice and very good. Yeah, we're going to go back online there now. Daniel Sean is there.
Hey, how y'all doing? Daniel Shaw. So I am traveling this week, unfortunately, so I can't be there. But the good thing was that I was able to write this following poem in the airport. So this is called I've Been Working on Silence. I've always been quiet, but this is new. This is beyond. Wherever you are reading this, already too loud. These words rattle from the page through the mind, including mine, and I know them well. It's about simplicity, slowing down, the capitalist's worst fear, not needing anything more to purchase, consume, repeat, compete, not this. This is no challenge, though it's difficult. This is no race, though it's already late. Let them call me basic, vanilla, plain. I'm looking for the ordinary, the origin. I'm looking for the mundane. I want the extra mundane, the intangible. It moves softer than a wisp, wistfully, calmly, effortlessly. There then, here now, still, still. Shh. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Hey, can we, is this going? 1, 2, 2, 1, 1, 2, 2, 1. Cheers. Can we have Jay Griffin up next, please? Cheers.
Hi. Like everyone, I forgot about the Harbor Festival and that. Wasn't prepared, but I scoured through my Instagram and found something kind of related to the sea, I suppose, or something in it. It's called Sea Glass. A sharp piece of broken glass made its way to the ocean floor. It listened to the songs of whales and dreamt of drifting to the shore. In time it felt it had forgot the sky above the sea, but when it troubled the water, storms were all that it could see. It learned the way of rolling stones and lived among their gang. It became less broken still when off the siren sang. All its chips and scars became a beautiful tattoo. It held the color of a cloud against a sky of blue. As time passed on, the piece of glass was not glass anymore and washed up as a gemstone after drifting to the shore. Thank you.
Thanks, Patrick. And we've Colin Foley next, please.
Cheers. I didn't have this ready, but to stick with the team, I found one to fit. You know you're in before you get there. You stand at the bank, smelling the air, listening to the river as it lulls you in. You're ready to go. You strip down. And one slow step after another, you find yourself in, submerged. It is a cold. You embrace the cold and dunk. You've had your fill. You make your way out. Only when you're out, you wish you had stayed longer. On the bank, you are warm. The October sun says hello. The October breeze has nothing on the river. You are reminded why and look forward to forgetting.
Nice, McConnor. We're going to go online next then. We're going to have Seamus Harrington. He's knocking around.
There he is.
Nice and Seamus, fine.
Hey everybody, sorry about the poor cut earlier, and then a crash 10 minutes later. This one is called Rowing. We puff and heave, strain and tug, oar looms pushed before the hug, carbon fibered blades all dip to bite blue water past the slip. On return stroke, feathering now, in deference here, all heads bow. Next stroke faster and more force. Windsurfing clown, get off the course. Straight and true without a roll. Well-honed muscles play their role. Lungs of power beyond belief. Fitness leaves no grounds for grief. Drive that yawl on this event, row and row without relent. The leader's just the canvas clear, her stroke seems lighter than last year. Straining backs and legs a quiver, forcing hard down tidal river, searing pain on each face red, without a wake we streak ahead. They flash in military precision, a hiss disguising each incision. 2,000 meters yet to turn, the coaxing, chanting cocks in stern. Not one length between us yet, pull round the boys as one octet. Number two with keel cut back, here's her chance to mount an attack. Straightening up, the lead has changed. Results may yet be rearranged. With guts on fire inside a knot, each heart yearns for that shot. No cheering masses waving banners, no veering ribs with bad manners, no long air horns to trumpet loud, no heave or push in surging cloud, in surging crowd. That comes later on in season, when I explain, you'll see the reason. It's early summer, yet none complaining, because these ladies are just out training. Thank you.
And I didn't forget the team anyway. Coming out from a boat.
Yeah, there was no fucking.
Antonio de Mera. Yeah.
Hi. So this poem is called the Bloomsday. Since on this Thursday it's gonna be a Bloomsday, so it's the 100th anniversary of James Joyce Ulysses, so I have dedicated this poem to Bloomsday. 16th of June 1904, Epiphany on 7 Eccles Street, Ithaca and beginning of the journey, Nostos leaving from Dublin city centre up to Dublin Bay, switching to Sandy Cove and closing on Oath Head. Screams and shouts of the Listrigonians inside the Davy Burney's pub. Time is cut piece by piece, eaten by the Lotus Eaters in Sweeney's pharmacy up to Lombard Street. Better to have some rest, National Library. But suddenly the pages of the books fly away to become the monsters Scylla and Charybdis. A nice rest with the lullabies of sirens in Ormond Hotel, forgetting Penelope in Calypso's bed. The pain will be held by Circe in Bella Cohen's brothel. Blown away by the wind off on O'Connell Street, we will be meeting Leopold Bloom, Molly Bloom, and Stephen Dedalus. What's the crack, guys? What's the story? Someone will ask. We're grand, just posting something on Instagram, Leopold Bloom will say. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Lan Antonio. Yeah, Jordan McKenty next week.
This is a poem about the seaside. I was on a walk with John Lockdown on Yall Beach, and I saw a man painting actually on the sand, and it's something that stayed with me, and I felt I had to write about it. So it's called, he happens to be a diver as well, so it's keeping the theme, I think, of the Harbour Festival. And it's called The Painter on the Beach. You whisk the brush across the canvas. A winter wind billows above the sand. You whisk the brush in a flash of light. Walkers look on and gasp at your creation. You whisk the brush in that familiar palette beat, surfing waves of love, or painter on the beach. Thank you.
Excellent. We go back online now and have Brian Generissimo, please.
Hello, everyone. I just want to say, I don't think I could handle being in a bar with both Catherine Ronan and Margaret O'Regan reading poetry at the same time. I don't know. I would explode. Okay. My poem is called Trying to Comprehend the Physics of Tears. Why do some tears feel so hot? They could cut a rut down my cheek as a path for future tears, while some tears feel as if they broke off an Arctic ice floe into the Atlantic, waiting to sink the Titanic. Why do my eyes decide to boil saline or keep inventory in ice cube trays? How do the powers that be decide what life events warrant, what temperatures? I understand why I cry, but I don't understand why sometimes tears drop from only one eye, or why tears sometimes pour down in torrents, but sometimes trickle like maple sap on a late February day. I can't comprehend the physics of crying. Sometimes I cry for no reason at all because I have a disease called depression. Sometimes the littlest thing will set me off. Maybe a memory gets triggered about my deceased mother or father, my friend Beth, who passed from cancer. It can be a song or line in a movie or Madras hat or potato soup or Labrador Retriever. Sometimes I feel I am a slave to my tears. I wonder if I sometimes cry, hoping a tear will track down my cheek to the edge of my lips so I can taste saline, so I can taste sadness, so I can taste hurt, so I can taste anger, so I can taste heartbreak that causes this substance to secrete from my body via my emotions. Why do I feel compelled to tell anyone who bears witness to my crying, it's just allergies, when crying is an essential mental health physiological response. Crying is not a sign of fragility, but an indication of fortitude. It's how our bodies shed dead bark that exists on trees that inhabit our souls. Yet when I cry in the presence of others, I tend to turn away, and what I need most is a validating smile or hug or patronizing shoulder squeeze. Tears are a gift from God. Tears are a gift to our lips and the tip of our tongue. Tears are a gift to our skin. Sometimes after a good cry, my face feels like it feels after I dunk my head in the ocean when my skin breathes because my soul is breathing. The next time you want to stop yourself from crying, don't. Learn to celebrate your tears. They're hard to celebrate when they're happening. Once I saw a poet recite a poem. One line the poet calmly uttered after an emotional and passionate passage is seared into my psyche. The reason the sun can shine bright during a thunderstorm is the same reason a good cry is best followed by a quick, impromptu laugh. Gracias, everyone.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Cheers. We're going to actually stay online, then we're going to have Roch and Brent. Is that please?
Is Ada?
Give her a shout there again, Brit.
Is there a brooch in Brent there? I'm terribly. I'm terribly.
You're calling on brooch in Brent.
Brooch in Brent.
Surely gone. It's been. I'm sorry. I didn't expect to be so soon up. Damn it. Right?
Is it?
And I'm trying to. Yeah, the camera is on. Okay, so. Hello, everyone from Belize. And yeah, so most of you know me as Ada, but Brötchenbrand for everyone is, it means, you know, a little bread skin burns, a little loaf of bread burns. So that's how I feel in life. I thought to put that up. Yeah, so I will start. And and there are some things that war did not destroy. Is my camera is always doing this, so you'll have to enjoy. Fuck Russians. I will start with a small poem about not having a home, you know, while having one, or staying somewhere but not really having a home. So this is I will translate it and then read the original. It's okay. So it's called Where To. And it sounds like, it translates like, I feel so bad. The nature doesn't help. I want out. It's too small here. Where to go? No home. And in German, it's rhymes, so it sounds better automatically. Wohin? Geht mir so schlecht. Natur hilft nicht. Will raus. Hier zu klein. Wohin? Kein Haus. And that's the first one for me. And the second is also a poem. This one will be like a prose poem. So the second one is called Problem, and it's about, as Stephen Fry said, a problem. That is life. And it translates, life is so difficult, there is always suffering. When you enjoy it, you have to decide to eat your eyes and forget everything, not to notice the screams, and just not to think anymore. And in German, that sounds, das Leben ist so schwer, immer gibt's Leiden, wenn du das genießt, musst dich entscheiden, die Augen aufzupressen, alles bloß vergessen, schreien nicht bemerken, einfach nicht mehr denken. And that's the second one. And the third one is a letter. Actually, it was supposed to be a long letter about, you know, my traveling, when the war started and everything else. But it just came out shortish when I finally got to write it. And this is in English, so that makes it more helpful. And I called it letter of resignation in sense of resigning from, you know, attempting to do something. So basically resigning from my original idea of writing something more elaborate and precise. So instead of all this, Hi, Oveil. I'm Ukrainian German with experience of living underground and scars. A guitar case remained into a backpack, all I had when war continued to cover all of the crates. I loved the shrimps from the volunteer restorators. It was cold. I thought to write about my unique experience and then thought, no. They may feel compassionate and feel what I feel to an extent, but they'll never get why I felt that. So no point. I thought to try to explain the course of history and the net of life Russians have won, but who cares? No one wants to break their bubble until it's broken, and I won't endeavor to try and persuade anyone to do so. I will plainly state without proof how things stand. And hope to whatever God available, some of your hearts will feel the heat of my burning earth and understand overreaction, not compromise, is called for. We're facing real evil here on a real scale. One, it's not politics in quote marks, as people use colloquially to reduce the term to something abstract, too non-existent. It's life. Stop building artificial barriers. You can only protect yourself for so long. Second, Russians haven't started it in February 2022, but in 1917, and never changed their evil ways during that time, not once. Yeltsin my arse, okay? Third, not staying away from the conflict doesn't help. No, staying away from the conflict doesn't help. It makes it longer, harder, more devastating. Fourth, no, Third World War is not terrible because A, it's just another phase of the Second World War, and B, because it's already on. Stop being afraid and take the responsibility. Fünf, every Russian who is not literally undermining the regime, and for them, donations and just helping the refugees are especially not enough, is compliant and therefore guilty. They have yet to prove they are fully human. Six, forgive and forget is bullshit invented by perpetrators of various crimes. That's the end of my letter. Hope it makes you think. Thanks, everyone.
Wow, thank you. Thank you, Ian. We're all wishing you very well from Cork. Next, we'll have Stan Nutt, please.
This is not a poem called An O'Vale Education in Bullet Points. Please take notes. There will be a test here, Doc. One. Light is the most overused word in poetry. Two. You can make sandwiches with many ingredients, including resurrected lettuce leaves. Three. The lads online want ice cream and know your name. Four, Jesus, Jim likes his name, but is happy to be known as JJ too. Five, most five-word poems are titled, not titled yet. Six, Johnny Rotten almost made an appearance tonight, maybe next month, as guest poet Paul Casey. Seven, sandwich can be rhymed with sounds with. Thanks, Augustina. Eight, Bewitched is a TV show as well as an Irish girl band. Nine, a goosebump reading meter should be sourced to help accurately assess competition winners. 10, despite Johnny Rotten's non-appearance, Punk, thanks to Mary O'Connell, lives on.
Paparazzi stand as the fucking story straight out of the fucking press, baby. Not a butter on. Shock it down. We're gonna have Subu next, please. Yay.
When the reading glasses come on, you know, it's about age. I didn't actually prepare as well, like unfortunately. I really would have liked to choose one for the sea, but I didn't. Now, I did have a plan to read one from the book, our book, one of my own. But then there is another one that is actually about the sea, and so I'm deciding right now that I'm reading a poem by John Michael Tynan, my dear co-editor and dear friend, and it's called Sacred Splinter. Punched by the devil from the roof of hell, it blasts immutable from the sea. Cold angular crags roar blackest menace. These skellig shafts of Mihil, scarring steely sky, rosy bead gannets
draped in pietistic meditation, the resting place of Ir, son of Milesius. So drawn to nature's schism, eremitical monks embrace the westerly wind that tears at skin, beards glistened by rasping rain that spikes their guilt and scalds the soul of sins of weakness. Thus risen to the top of Satan's rage, to abide closer to their god of damnation slash salvation, sacred splinter dedicated to the archangel. And that was obviously about Skellington Michael.
Thanks, Lassu. We have Jim Quickard next, a Fibro Challenge champion.
So this poem is called The Hungry Ghosts, and it's inspired by this poet, Jania, and she kind of does like little caricatures of things like ghosts and cyborgs and things. And religion's going to get a little bit of a hammering at the end again from me.
Jesus again.
Jesus, JJ, come
help. I told you there was a hammer in there.
Jesus.
So, the Hungry Ghosts. We stand in the glow of shop windows watching televisions. Bathe in town square fountains and sluice through the mouths of angels. The tasteless nouveau deceased sleep in bank vaults, are always bragging about their funerals. They attend real estate viewings of their old houses to slam doors. Perverted ghosts go unnoticed. Ectoplasm is excellent lube. Pets are the only defense. If your dog starts barking at nothing, or your cat darts up curtains, they're chasing dead perverts away. We seek out mediums, but they respond vaguely as a magic eight ball. Charity work includes guiding drunks home with telekinetic kebabs. We also work at the Ouija board call center, but mostly get prank calls or existential questions that are outside our scope of support. The callers always complain when we refer them to God's hotline, because there's never any answer, and the whole music is terrible.
Thanks, Jim. We have another JJ, JJ Fish. Yeah, the real in Cardiff. There's a real JJ in there.
It's never coming. We're both amazing poets of equal merit, so no competition. I didn't hear what the peanut gallery say in the back.
I said, but you're not Jesus.
No, I'm not at all. So this poem is not about the sea. This poem is short and sad and about sex. This poem is called Short Sad Sex Poem. We hadn't seen each other in some time. Yet you sent me a text last week asking if I was fine. It's currently 3 in the morning, and you do like a bit of late night light nicotine. So I light up a pair of cigarettes after sex. We each take a puff, slick with sweat. I see you blush and know for you the rush of regret comes next. Neither one of us came, so the unspoken question still hangs. What does come next? That went unanswered, and you took the next cab home. So this is it. my short, sad sex poem.
Why not another round?
And, sorry. Well, I mean, that's part two of the poem, but look. Oh, I don't have that written yet. The first one ended prematurely, you know? So. Sorry about that. That never happens. Look.
The second one will be a longer one.
Yeah, I promise. The next one will be longer. I was going to say, if we're promoting shows, and I'm shameless about that, I'm curating a show every month called Pros and Woes.
Oh, yes.
And so I can announce publicly for the first time, July 6th at 7 p.m. on a Wednesday at the upstairs room at the Franciscan Well, Pros and Woes 2 is going to happen. And it's me, it's Jim, it's Cara Kirsch, it's Jamie O'Shea, and some special guests that we haven't figured out yet. So free show, come on out.
Nice. Yeah.
The sea is always the same color. It came again and again against the rocks, invading crevices and corners. The sea foam atop the sea moved like bellowing snow winds, as the sea cleansed and cradled the rock. Never tired, always searching, the sea moves in packs of waves, taking its fill of the beach. The beach is powerless to the sea. It is forced to welcome it, and so it welcomes it softly. The sea keeps its own time, moves in every direction, filling space as it leaves it. The sea picks up and drops things. The sea breeds shells and sand and stone, material waste, fish and weed and plankton and plant. The sea breeds creature. The sea is always the same color. It is only the light that changes. What color is the sea? That's going to about finish off the 672nd Ovale. Yeah. And just before we go, just a huge thank you to Wadi for coming, but also for guest poets, Susan Rich and Amanda Bell.
Yeah.
Can we give them a huge round of applause? Thank you.